Okay, today's daf is Bavmitzia daf Kuvches. We're going to start on Kuv Zayin Amud Beis, talking about situations where the people had trees on the side of the riverbank. Rabbi Baruch Hu Nahavel Hu Abba Gudet Nahara. Rabbi Baruch Hu had a forest on the side of the riverbank. Amrulei, they said to him, Nekutzmar, let him. All right, you'll get the notes. Let him. You'll get the notes. I just started. There's no one here. I'm just going to do it for the people who listen. So Rabbi Baruch Hu Nahavel Hu Abba Gudet Nahara. He had a forest on the side of the riverbank. They said to him, Nekutzmar, let Rabbi Baruch Hu chop down the trees because it's bothering the people on their way down the river. Amar Lehu, he says back to them, wait, I'm not going to do it. Kutsu alai v'satoi, let the people upriver or downriver cut first. If they cut, then I'll cut. V'hadon nakitz ana, then I'll cut it. I mean, I'm not doing it first. Let them do it. So they asked, Hechi abin achi, how is Rabbi Ravuna going to do this? How can he not do what's right and say, let them do it first? V'haksiyah, we have a pasuk in Sfanya that says, his koshu v'koshu. When Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, that means, shows atzmecha v'acharkach kashot acherim. First take care of what you need to do, and then other people take care of what they have to do. You can't just rely on, say, other people go first. So there are a couple of ways to learn out the word kashot. They say from kashot, the Rashbam says, his koshishu means from the lashon of haser kash, removing like the straw, removing the avonis. First remove your sins, and then you can worry about everybody else's removing their sins. And it's interesting, Rabbeinu Yeruchim, who was the Mashkiach in the Mir, said it's not like a davar musar that first you have to take care of yourself. It's a metzias. If you're not clean, then no one else is going to listen and do what this can't happen. You have to take care of yourself first. So how is it possible for this Rabbi Ravun to say, I'm not going to do it, let everybody else do it first? So Hasa, we say, no, it's different. In that case, Abba de Parzak Rupli Haba, on top of him and below him in the river, upriver and downriver, where it was the forest of the base Parzak, which was like a prince of Persia, the Amar, and he says, "Ikaitzu, if base Parzak is going to chop down the tree, then Kaitzana, then I'll cut down mine also. Lo Kaitzu, but if they're not going to cut it down, I'm Mike Ekutz. What's the purpose of me cutting down the trees? So first you can start down the river, and the trees are going to be there. Then our mine's going to be cut down, and then there are going to be more trees in by the river again. What's the purpose? The Imam Tekluhu Ashlailu. If they can walk down the riverbed, you know, and the people can stand on the sides pulling the barges down, then fine. Then mistagilu, then they can do it. But if they can't, be low mistagilu. But if they can't, if there isn't enough room, so what's going to happen? So they're going to get to the prince's property. They're going to have to go to the other side. Then they're going to see, Rashi explains this, then they're going to see that my side is empty. They're going to come back to my side and then go back to the other side. What's the point? What's the purpose? Why should I bring down... It's Rashi and Kol Chesam Aleph. Why should I chop down my trees if it's not going to serve any purpose? Because the kings or the princes of guys are not going to chop down the trees over there. So that's what happened in that case. Rabbi Rav Nachman have a kazu be'arba. So we continue the case. Rabbi Rav Nachman is on a boat going down river of this river. Chazu hu abba the kayaguda nahara, and he sees this forest that's not chopped down on the side of the river. Amar lehu demad. He says, whose is this? So Amrle, they said back to him, it's Rabbi Baruch Hu. It belongs to Rabbi Baruch Hu. Amar, he says back to them, meaning, it's a pasuk in Ezra, and Ezra says, the people who were most important were the first ones to do the chatoyim. Saying, oh, Rabbi Rav Huna is such an important guy, he doesn't chop down his trees. You know the din is if it's chopped down the trees, so people can walk around the sides to pull the barges. So Amar Lehu, he commanded them, Rabbi Rav Nachman commanded the people, kutsu kutsu, go chop down his trees. Also, Rabbi Rav Huna ba'ashat ha'kayit, so Rabbi Rav Huna comes, obviously, Rabbi Bar Rav Nachman didn't know the whole situation, didn't know the whole story what went on here, that people they had the people on the upper and the lower level who weren't going to chop down the trees. So also Rabbi Rav Huna v'ashu the kites. Rabbi Rav Huna comes to his forest and he sees that it's chopped down. Amar my kites the kotz anfei. Whoever chopped down my trees, his branches should be chopped down also. Right. So Amri kul shnei the Rabbi Rav Huna lo ikim leizar the Rabbi Rav Nachman. So long as Rabbi Rav Huna was alive, Rav Nachman never had children. Because, or his children died, because he said that his branches should be chopped down. And, I thought the curse was that he should chop down his trees. Somehow, I guess the lashon of the Chachamim was taken so seriously that they took branches as being his children. So essentially, it turned into a curse that since he chopped down my trees, I'm going to chop down his trees, which are his children, and he never had children who lived so long as Rabbi Rav Huna was alive. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hakol Igli Gapa. We get close. We can get. This is a sugya that takes place. It's in Bava Basra, this whole sugya about taxes and city taxes. But the Gemara starts talking about it here. Amar Rav Yehuda, Kol Igli Gapa. When you're coming to build a wall around the city, you're coming to build, you know, the defenses around the city. Everyone has to pay. The taxes have to be raised from everybody. Everybody has to pay. Afilu miyasme, even from Yisomim, Ketanim, because everyone needs Shmira. Right? It's a tax for everybody that needs Shmira. Aval Rabbanan, but Talmidei Chachamim lo. They don't have to pay the tax to buy my timer. Rabbanan lo tzrichni tirusa. Rabbanan do not need the protection, meaning the Torah that they learned, that's going to protect them. Okay? But lecharya de pasya, but when they're coming to, look, we'll stop here for a second. So what does it mean, the Talmud Chacham? Major Machlokas Rishonim, what does it mean, the Talmud Chacham? So, the Rimigash and Bava Basra Nafchez says that this means only someone who's Toru Menasso. He doesn't do anything else. Toru Menasso, his Torah is going to protect him. If he does anything else, does any other work, then it's not going to work. But the Ramban says it's Misha Isko Keva, the Ain Torusko. If his Torah is Keva and his Esek is Arai, then he also. So, meaning if he just, I don't know how that works out time wise, but Torah Keva, that's enough for the Ramban. And the Rush says, even if someone's just learned, there's a little bit, the Russian Bava Basra and Perek Aleph and Chavav, he says that if you work a little bit in order just to make, you know, make ends meet, but really most of the time you're learning, then you're also considered a Rabban in this case, and you're Pater from Nitirusa. So there was an interesting child was asked to the Chazon Ish, what if you have a city where everybody's Toru Menasso? I don't know what type of city that is, but you can imagine. When you have a city where no one really works, they all allegedly learn all day. So what, I snuck it in. So what happened there? So the Chazon Ish says in that situation they all have to pay the taxes. So he says it's not that the Torah is the Shmira and you don't need any other Shmira. That each city needs two types of Shmiras. You need a Shmira, a physical Shmira, and you need a spiritual Shmira as well. So when you have people who are Toru Menasso and people who are Toru Menasso, so those who are Toru Menasso are supplying the spiritual Shmira, and those who aren't are going to have to provide the physical Shmira by building the wall. But if you only have people learning, that's not enough. You still need the physical Shmira. So everyone's Toru Menasso, so yes, you have to be provided with the spiritual Shmira, but you still have to now pay for the physical Shmira because they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. So Gemara then says, L'chayr de pasya, but if you're coming to dig up a pit, I guess in order to dig up like a water cistern, so you actually do this work, afilu mei rabbanan. Then in this case, even the rabbanan have to pay for it because the rabbanan need water. The Torah may protect him, but the Torah is not going to give them water to drink. You still need to eat. The lo amaron, but they didn't say that the talmid chacham have to participate in digging up the water wells. El din lo nafki be'uch luza. When they're not going out that by themselves, rather they're just going to collect the tax. But if the Bnei Yair are going to dig by themselves, lo. Then the Talmid Chachamim do not have to go out with them to dig. It's not the derech of Talmid Chachamim to go dig in the pit, to dig in the wells. It's beneath them, it's not covered. Of course, again, I need to point out that this isn't a loophole that you're encouraged to take. You know, the Talmid Chacham is supposed to... If he's a Talmud Chacham, usually he's an anav and he's supposed to, you know, go out as well. But he has this heter. Questions brought down. So the Ritva brings down two shitas. In this instance, where the Talmud Chacham is putter from going out to the wells to dig, does that mean he's putter to go dig, but he still has to now pay for somebody to go dig on his behalf? Because we said that Talmud Chacham needs to go get to pay for the water because he needs to drink as well. So the Ritva brings down two shitas. One says that they're putter and but they have to hire others to work on their behalf. But the Ritva in Bava Basra says that once they're putter, then they're putter. And I think that's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yordea Simen Reish Mem Gimel that they don't have to hire somebody in their stead. Once they have the Ptur, they have the Ptur. Okay. Next case. Amar Rav Yehuda, L'charya din Nahara Tati Misal Eloi, Eloi Lo Misai Tata. You have a river, right, that it's flowing downstream. So you have people upstream and people downstream. So the river now starts getting backed up. Basically, the case is going to be whoever's affected by the stoppage is going to have to help to do it. So the river gets stopped up all the way upstream from everyone beneath downstream has to help above stream because it's blocking them. But if the blockage takes place beneath my field, I don't have to help anybody because it's not affecting me. So l'chari dinara, if a river gets backed up, tatoi misoi eloi. The lower ones have to help the upper ones. But eloi lo misoi tatoi. But the upper ones don't have to help the lower ones if the stoppage is downstream from their fields. B'chilupa d'mayi d'mitra. And it's the other way around. It's the other way around if you have like some sort of irrigation thing to get rid of the rainwater that's going to come flood. Basically, in that situation, look the other way around. If the water stopped, if there's a blockage, so then the rainwater is going to overflow upstream, I guess. Whoever's affected by it, I don't know how he explains it there. They built some sort of dish to get rid of the rainwater. So if the rainwater gets stopped, if there's a blockage downstream, so the rainwater backs up and overflows on upstream. It overflows uphill, I guess. I don't know how that worked. So whoever's affected by it has to pay. So if it affects, if the people below, if the rainwater gets, you know, shoots, goes away from them, then they don't have to pay anymore. But whoever's affected by the stoppage or the blockage has to pay. And Tanya Namihaku, we have a brace that says this. It's a Tosefta. Chamesh Ganos, you have five gardens. Hamistapos Mayim, Mimayan Echad, who get water from one from water source. Viniskalka Hamayan, and the Mayan gets blocked up. Kulon Misaknos Imel Yona. Everyone below has to help the upper one because they're affected. But Nimseis Tachtona Misakenesim Kulon. The bottom one always has to help because he's always going to be affected. But the upper one, the only time he's going to have to help is if his stoppage is up by him. If it's beneath him, he'll never have to help anyone else because he's not affected. They would five chatzeros, one on top of the other, that they would get rid of the bad water of the Bivachad into one irrigation canal to bring the mayim outside the chatzer. And this canal got messed up. If they all have to help the bottom one, because if it gets blocked up, then it's going to keep going up to their fields and overflowing their fields. It's not going to take the rainwater out from their fields. Apparently, they didn't want the rainwater. I thought you need rainwater for the fields. I guess they didn't want the rain. Maybe it's just dirty water. So Nimtzes Elyona Misakenesim Kulon. The Elyona helps us to help everybody. Misakenes LaAtzma. But the lower one is only going to have to help if it affects him. Again, basically the rule is you have to help when it affects you. If it doesn't affect you, you don't have a chiyuv to help. Amar Shmuel, Haiman da Asi Pirakta de Nahar. Let's say you have this. You have the kark on the side of the river, okay? And the boats go on the side. Again, we basically said you need the sides of the river to be free for everybody to walk and pull the barges along the river. So you have this karka on the side of the river, and someone is tofacing. Someone sits and makes a chazaka on the land. I guess this is hefker or public property, and he grabs it and he takes it. He wants to build a binyan, he wants to build something or plow there. Chatzifahave. So he's an Adam Chatzif. Because what he's doing, he's been mekalkel the mukkel that's specifically used by the rabbim. But, Saluki Glomusalkinle. But we can't get rid of him. Because it doesn't belong to anybody. So he made a kinyan, you know, it's the Homestead Act, right? He made a kinyan. He went and he grabbed it. It's his. I mean, he didn't do the right thing here because he's taking away the usage from the public domain. But there's nothing we can do legally to stop him. He's just an Adam Chatzif. Right, but by Idna, but nowadays the Kakasi Parsoi that the Persian stars are written in the Persian stars. It says Kenelach Admelay Tavari Susi Demaya. The karka that you buy goes all the way into the water, up to the amount of water that covers up to the neck of a horse. So that means anyone who owns anything on the side of the river, their property extends down into the water itself. So now you can't go in and grab it because that belongs to somebody. I guess it belongs to the purchaser, but he allows the people to walk on it. So then it's a lukin on misalking lay. Then the person is master of the karka, we can kick him out because basically he's trying to grab the karka adversely. And if you kick him out to follow the rules, you can get rid of him. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Haiman da Aksik Beni Achei Ubeni Shutafei Chatzifei Havei Batsiluki Lo Misalking Lei. So someone who grabs karka, let's say you have two brothers who have karka here and here, or two shutvin and a karka here and here, and there's an empty space in the middle. Someone who goes grabs that karka, so he's an adam chatzif, because really he should realize that the two brothers, the two shutvin, it'd be better for them, I guess maybe because they're bar mitzvah or whatever reason, that they're going to grab that, well, it's sort of bar mitzvah, no one's selling it, but we'll get to bar mitzvah for the rest of the daf. He's an adam chatzif, because he should allow them to get to have a contiguous piece of land, but we can't get rid of him because he was machzik bidin. Okay, so even sometimes, even though if you're correct, you're correct legally, it's not the right thing to do. There's still, some, you know, there's another Asisa Yashar Matov still comes in. The Rav Nachman Amar Nami Masiklin, Nami Misalkin. He says, no, we can be Misalkin in this case, but Be'im Yishum Din De Bar Metzra Lo Misalkin Lay. He says, but if the Bali Karkos are saying that they want it because of Bar Metzra, right? Bar Metzra, what the din is? I own a property. and next to your property, and you're going to sell your property. I have a right of first refusal on the property, so I can have one contiguous piece of land. You shouldn't be selling it to somebody else. Rashi points out that the din of bar mitzvah is not on the owner of the land; it's on the purchaser. The other third party purchaser should know that he shouldn't buy the land prior to the fact that I buy the land that's next to me, so I can have this piece of land. So he says, but Rav Nachman says, if it comes to the din of bar mitzvah, then if they're told bar mitzvah, then they don't have to kick them out. I guess because they're saying that the machlokas rishonim, according to some rishonim, Rav Nachman doesn't hold the din of bar mitzvah. So it doesn't hold it. You can't kick them out. But Nardai Amri, Nardai say, afilu mishum din the bar mitzvah misalkin lehe. Even if you have the din of bar mitzvah, you're misalkin them. You have to get rid of them. Mishum shenemar b'shisav yoshev atobe in Hashem. The din of bar mitzvah is a famous Ramban on that parsha that Rashi was talking about a million times. About the source of bar mitzvah, the Torah can't go into every single detail. There's a concept of asisa yoshev atov. When the Ramban says asisa yoshev atov, his example is with this Gemara of the din of bar mitzvah. So Rabbi Nardai say that because of bar mitzvah, you can get rid of it. You can't come in and just buy the property in the middle. You let the other people have the right of first refusal to get it. So I said that Rashi mentioned that Rav Nachman doesn't hold the din of bar mitzvah, but most of the Rishonim argue, and they say even Rav Nachman holds the din of bar mitzvah. But he says over here, for whatever reason, there's no zechus kedima. For whatever reason, in this case, when they own the two properties on the side, and the guy comes in the middle, I think it could be because it's not a sale. Maybe it's just that we're talking about the metzisa or cases that the middle is hefker. No one owns it, so he goes in and he grabs and he sits there. What's the din of bar mitzvah? Maybe bar mitzvah only applies if there's a sale. Maybe I don't know. Others say that maybe because they if it was this empty field, right, that's what it is. If there was this empty field between the two brothers for a certain period of time and they didn't do anything with it themselves, and then Masali from it, the guy can come in and get it. Maybe it even still applies to a sale, but we're not talking, that's a case it's not a sale, but here they just let it lie fallow. If you want it, go get it. You could have gotten it themselves. Okay. Now with the rest of the daf, we're going to talk about the din of bar mitzvah. We took a few dinim of bar mitzvah and a bunch of cases, like 15 cases where bar mitzvah does not apply. It's funny, we say that the din of bar mitzvah, the Torah can't go into every detail, but the Gemara does. The Gemara comes up with at least like 15 cases over here, when it does, when it doesn't apply. Asa imlech bay, right? Let's say the lokeach, okay, we have Reuven owns the property next to Shimon, who's the bar mitzvah, and Levi's now coming in to buy it. So Levi comes in, asa to Shimon. Asa imlech bay, but amar lei izil izbon. The guy, Levi comes to Shimon and says, I'm going to go buy that property that's next to you. Is that okay? So amar lei izil izbon. And he says, yeah, go ahead. Go buy it. Sarech miknei limnei or lo? Do you have to do some sort of kinyan to concretize this mechila or not? Ravina amar lo tzarech miknei limnei. No. Once he says he's mochel, Levi can go in and buy it and it's over. Nardai armid tzarech miknei limnei. Nardai is out more mach when it comes to his bar mitzvah. They say that no, you have to make a kinyan because if he doesn't, he can say, I'm a shatani bach. I was just fooling around. I was just kidding around. So in order for Levi to get a pre mechila from Shimon, he has to do some sort of kinyan. We're starting to point out, though, that Levi buys it and then comes to Shimon and says, are you mochel? And he says, yes, then that's mechila right away. Because there's no other step afterwards. That's mochel. Okay. So hashad amar tzarech lemikti minei. So now that we pass on the halacha lemaisa that you have to get this kinyan, right? I guess it's a kinyan chalipin or kinyan suda, but just something to show kinyan das, just to show that the das is real. So ilo konuminei, if he didn't kone, right? So Levi comes in and just buys it without making the kinyan, right? So what happens? Iyakor v'zul b'rushu say, if the value of the property goes up or down, it's as if the value went up within the hands of Shimon. So now when Shimon kicks out Levi, right? If he wants to get rid of Levi, he has to pay him based on the value that it was at the time of the purchase. Because basically what the Rishonim say is we're viewing Levi as Shimon's shliach. So it's as if it was in Levi's rishus the entire. It was if it was in Shimon's rishus the entire time. Now that he wants to kick him out, what does he pay for it? He pays what the guy paid for it at the time, at the original purchase price. So that could work in his benefit, work against him, depending whether the value of the property went up or down. But basically, the Rishonim explained that we're dealing with over here is that we're saying that if he did it improperly, if the other third party buys it improperly, he's like the shliach of Levi. When Shimon comes and buys it again, he only has to pay it he only has to pay the original purchase price. So the Gemara, if you have that in mind, the next piece of Gemara makes more sense. Zavin b'meya v'shavin mason. Let's say the lokeach bought the property for $100 when it's really worth $200. Right? He got a deal. So chazinon ili kule. We have to see. Does the din of bar mitzvah apply here? Can now the bar mitzvah kick out Levi? If the mocher would have sold it to everybody at this price, right? Then yavle mea v'shakile. Then the ben mitzvah Shimon can give $100 to the lokeach because he also could have purchased at this price. So the lokeach is just a shliach, and he kicks him out and he gets it. The ilo, but if the owner only gave this deal to Levi, maybe he had some other pre-existing deal, maybe that's some other reason, and everybody else would have sold it for 200, but only for Levi he sold it for 100, then he's not a shliach anymore, because he has different rules. The lo yavile moslem b'shakile, then he has to give him 200. He has the right to kick him out, but he doesn't get the same price, because he wasn't a shliach for him. He kicks him out, and he has to give him the full value, the 200, and then he can get the property. What about the other way around? Zavid b'masam b'shavim me'ah. Let's say he bought it for 200 and it's worth 100. He got a raw deal. So sabar minei, we thought to say, matzi amr lei l'tzakuni shardittach v'lo l'avusei. Since you're my shaliach, you bought it for 200, I don't care. It was only worth 100. I'm going to give you 100 and kick you out. You're my shaliach. You overpaid. So amr lei, you overpaid for the property. You were ripped off. There was another here. So amr lei mar kashisha v'reid rav chizda l'rav ashi hachem min ardoi mishun rav nachman ain't another karkos. No, there's no another karkos. We have that in Machlokas, what it means, no another karkos, meaning at any price, or even just up to a sixth. But here it looks like any price, because it's mamas double. It was worth 100, he sold it for 200. So he says, there's no another by karkos, so even if you gave more than it's worth, the mekach is kayam. So therefore, since we view the lokeach as the shliach, he can't say that you messed up the shlichus and therefore you didn't take any kinyan, and therefore it still belongs to the original owner and I don't have to pay him 100. You're my shliach, you bought it for 200. I don't understand how the shlichus works. It's some sort of just, de facto shlichus. You didn't appoint him in any way. But therefore, if the ben meitzar wants the property, right, he wants the property, he has to give the lokeach the 200 and then buy the property. But if he doesn't give him the 200, then it stays in the hands of the lokeach. Okay. Now we're going to talk about a case where maybe there was a little trickery going on here. Okay? Zavan le giriva da ara b'mitzvah nichse. Let's say the lokeach has a big property, and I sell to a lokeach a little bit of my property in the middle of my property. It's not next to anybody. It's smack in the middle of my property. And now I'm going to want to sell the rest of my property. So basically what I did is I got this guy in. He becomes a bar mitzvah also, because he's next to my field. So he's sliding in by buying in the middle of my property. So zaven legibir da arim mitzia de nichse. I idis he iziburis he. If the middle property that he's selling is different than the other property around it, I mean, there's a reason to sell this property. Maybe someone wants to buy it because it's really good, or I want to sell it because it's a really bad field, so I want to get rid of it. So then zavini zavini. Then it's a good sale. But the ilo, if the karka in the middle I'm selling is no different than any of the other karka, then irume kar armarim. What he's doing here is he's trying to trick. Rashi says he wants to sell the property, the entire property, to this guy. So what he does is he gives him a piece of property in the middle, and now he comes and sells it to him, and he can't argue about metzah. The third party can't argue about metzah because this guy's also about metzah. He says no. If it was the exact same property, there was no reason to sell property right smack in the middle of my field. How does he get there? What is he doing with it? If it's different property, then there's a reason. So arume kama arim, and therefore the mekach is batel, and you have to give the money back, and the other guy remains the bar mitzvah. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to bring about 8 cases of where bar mitzvah doesn't apply. Then it's going, according to Rashi, it's going to stop in the middle for a little tangent, and then bring a bunch of other cases where bar mitzvah doesn't apply. That's basically till the end of the daf, and we'll get to the picture on the bottom. Right, once there are pictures in the Gemara, pictures. We gotta look at it. So you have a picture of that one also? A picture of the bottom. So a picture in Rashi. Okay. So matana less be mishum din bar mitzvah. If I give the field as a matana to somebody, then there's no din of bar mitzvah, because the other guy can't kick me out. Why? Because the whole din of bar mitzvah is because of the concept of sisa yashar ratov to the next door neighbor. But I'm doing total to the guy who's giving matana. Maybe he did something for me, I'm doing something back for him. So matana is doing tov. So a sisa yashar ratov for you can't cancel out a sisa yashar ratov for somebody else. And to keep that in mind, that's the whole issue of bar mitzvah, is because of the sisa yashar ratov. Okay? So Amar Meimar says, I kasav la achrayis. But if I give you a matana And in the Star Matana, I write, if anything happens to the field, I'll compensate you for you. I write an achrayas into the star. Then it's not really a matana. Then you're just calling it a matana, but it's really a sale. Because no one does achrayas when it comes to a matana. Ikasle achrayas is be mishum dien bar metzra. Then there is a concept dien bar metzra. And therefore, since it was definitely a sale, the other party, the metzra party can say, I want to buy it and get rid of him. Let's say, makar kol nechasov le'achad. I sell all my property that I own to somebody, including the property that's next to somebody, to Shimon. Less by mishum dinah bar metzvah. There's no dinah bar metzvah here. Because, the din is because he's selling everything. And this is just a package deal. Machlokas mishonim is, though, let's say the bar metzvah says, I'll take the package deal. I'll buy all your property, including the parcel next to me. Does bar metzvah apply? I don't know. It's too sudden. I don't know what had be mazbir that machlokas. So machlokas called nechosov, like a third of the way down on Amud Beis. So machlokas nechosov le echad less be mishum dina bar metzvah. Third case of where the dina bar metzvah doesn't apply. Dina bar metzvah again is there's a parcel of land that I'm selling, and I have a neighbor. He has the right of first refusal to buy that property. Because of the concept of Asisa Yashar Atov, we're going through cases now where that Dina Bar Metzvah does not apply. If I resell the property back to the original owner, that's not the Dina, there's no Dina Bar Metzvah. The second guy next door doesn't have the right of first refusal. It can go back to the first owner. Because there's nothing, Rashi explains, there's no Asisa Yashar Atov greater than returning property to its original owner. I.e., Yovel goes back to the original owner. Zavin may obey kachavim. The zavin le obey kachavim. If you buy from a guy or you sell to a guy, ain't ba mishum dinah bar metzvah. There's no dinah bar metzvah on the purchases to or from a guy. Gemara explains. Zavin may obey kachavim. If you buy it from a guy, the amra le, he could say back to the next door neighbor. He could say, I did good for you. I did a sisa yashar atov to you because the amra le ari avriche lach mitzara. I got rid of this lion from your property. Now you're safer. I guess they viewed the goyim, for whatever reason, they viewed the goyim as being dangerous to have next door. Okay? So therefore there's no dinah bar metzvah, because I did a sisa b'yashar v'tov. But zavin li'o b'kachavim, selling to a goy, why is there no sisa b'yashar v'tov? And here's a very sordid point. Because o b'kachavim v'ari la'var v'sisa b'yashar v'tov. A goy is not mechuvit ilav on a sisa b'yashar v'tov. Rashi points out here, akum lav bar sisa, the ein lana lomar al dinah bar metzvah sisa b'yashar v'tov, ela l'lokeach. The din only applies to the purchaser, right? Shamocher amole lo, because the mocher doesn't have a din of bar metzra, because he can say ma sisi lecha imir chalom kamen lecha b'tehebi adi. I don't have to sell it at all. Abal lokeach nemer mishoch yadcha b'yiknin azeh. We say to lokeach, you pull back your hand and allow somebody else to buy it. So the din, Rashi is saying, the din of bar metzra is on the purchaser, not on the seller, because the seller can simply say, what am I bothering you? I just won't sell it. You don't have it now. I don't have to make sure that you have it. I don't have to sell it at all. What do you gain? What's the difference? It's counterintuitive a little bit to say that. But the din of bar mitzvah is that you have a right of first refusal on a purchaser, not on a seller. I've never seen that in a contract. But that's how it works. And the Gemara says, but if you sell it to a guy, shamutei bade mishatim, we're menadeh him. We put the guy, I guess, in some sort of chayrim, the seller, ad mekavalei kol unsi de'asu le lamach masei. We put it until the seller accepts upon himself liability for anything that the guy is going to do to the land, because now I put this guy next to you. Okay, fifth case of where there's no din of bar metzvah. We saw this case actually earlier in the Masechta. Mashkanta. If the land is a mashkon for a loan, now I want to sell it to the guy who it's a mashkon for, less by mishum din of bar metzvah. He doesn't have the din of bar metzvah. The Amar of Ashi, Amar Lisabi, the Masamach. See, my mashkanta. What does the word mashkanta mean? It says, v'shchuna gabei. He becomes a shachin. The mashkon means you become a shachin to the field. Umay nafkamina. We say, what's the nafkamina that mashkanta means neighbor? Ledina de maretzra. That even the owner of the mashkon, the holder of the mashkon, has a dinah bar metzra. So he's a bar metzra also. I mean, if you have two bar metzras, one can't kick out the other one. So he's a bar metzra also. We had this gemara. We had it a couple months ago. We had this gemara. Where was it? Samaches. We had it on Samaches. Right, he becomes a neighbor. And I think the reason might be also is that the whole din is for a sisa v'yashar v'tov. So the guy who's holding a mashkon, we should do a sisa v'yashar v'tov to him as well, because he lent money. So there's a sisa, I think the whole thing, if you you can always play around with the concept of Asisa Yosar Vatov,
how it fits in. Next case, the sixth case. Limkor birachok viligol bikarov, birav viligol biyafa, less bimishum din the bar mitzvah. Let's say you have time of the essence in one of his transactions. The din, the bar mitzvah field is somewhere else. That's in Yehupitz. I want to sell that field so I can now go buy a house right in my neighborhood. But at times of the essence, I got to get rid of it now. I got to do it now. Or, that's a really bad field. I have the opportunity to sell that field, get the cash, and buy a good field now here. In that case, we say there's no bar mitzvah because if I don't sell it right away, there's a chash that maybe I won't be able to make the other purchase that I want to make. And then Vesikisav Yosher Vitov is messing me up. The whole point is that bar mitzvah, I don't understand why. If we just said that it only applies on the purchaser, so what's this case? Next case. L'charga l'mezone v'l'kvura less b'mishum dina bar mitzvah. If I need to sell the field in order to pay for taxes, I need to sell the field in order because Beis Din wants me to sell my field so I can pay mezonos for my yesomim, for my almana, v'l'kvura, or I need money, I need cash in order to bury a mace. So if time is of the essence, I need the money right now, then there's no dina bar mitzvah. The purchaser can come in and buy it. I can see because he's doing v'sisa v'yashar ratov, to buy it and give the guy liquid assets so he can do what he needs to do. Okay. Less mishum dina bar mitzvah. The Amin Nahardai, because Nahardai says, the third time we have Nahardai when it comes to bar mitzvah. They must have really focused on the din of bar mitzvah. The Amin Nahardai, l'charga l'mezoni l'kvura mezabim v'lo ach rosto. When it comes to selling stuff you need it for to pay taxes or to get food or to bury, we can sell the field, right? We can sell the field. This is talking about the nechassim of Yisomim. We can sell the nechassim of Yisomim. Usually we try to get the best price. So we have to have a prospectus, a whole offering memorandum to get everyone to get the best price. But for these situations, we don't. We're mezabdin below achrasta. We see for these situations, you can sell without achrasta, and so too by bar mitzvah. The din of bar mitzvah doesn't apply because we need the cash quickly so he can bury his debt. Eighth case, le'isha, right? If you sell this field to a woman, liyasme lishutafi, or to your partner, less ba mishum dina bar mitzvah. For a woman and a yasom, the reason being is that it's not their derech to go out. If they're going to buy it, the whole dina bar mitzvah is you say to the guy, don't buy this field, go buy another field. But for a woman and for a yasom, you can't say go buy another field. It's not their derech to go out and buy another field. For a shutaf, I think it's pashut. If he's a partner in my field, sell him the field. He is the bar mitzvah. That's the bar mitzvah. He's the owner. So what's shouldn't be an issue? Okay. Now Rashi says we interrupt these cases for another din. Most Rishonim argue because they say, why are we interrupting for no purpose? Because we're going to go back afterwards and have another eight cases. Rashi says that the reason why we interrupt is we're talking about in the next couple of cases, we have a chilik between most people and Talmid Chacham. And Rashi says, why is there a chilik between Talmid Chacham when it comes to Bar Mitzvah? So let's go according to Rashi. So, what? Okay. So now we're talking about Din of Kedim of Mechiras Karka. Who should I sell to first? So, Shechina Yair, Shechina Yisadeh. Shechina Yair, Shechina Yisadeh. Okay, I have two types of neighbors. I have neighbors who live in the house next to me, but I also own property and I have neighbors of the field. So I sell in the field. Who gets it? So we say Shechina Yair Kodvin. The Shechina Yair go first, because you want to you recognize them. You'd rather be sold to them. You rather sell the. This is not bar mitzvah. This is just selling. This is just selling it to a field. Let's say Shachem Metamid Chacham. You want to sell it to your neighbor to a Talmid Chacham. Talmid Chacham Kodim. He goes first because then you're going to get a lot of schuyos for selling it to a Talmid Chacham. Kar of a Talmid Chacham. You have a chesh for selling it to your neighbor, your family member or a Talmid Chacham. Again, Talmid Chacham goes first because you get a lot of schuyos for helping out a Talmid Chacham. Yibayilhu. What about Shachem Mekarov Mai? If I have a neighbor and a Karov and I want to sell a piece of land to them, who goes first? So Shachem Mekarov Mai. So Tashma. Tov Shachem Karov Meilach Rachok. It's better to have a good neighbor. Sell to the neighbor first. Now, according to Rashi, we go back to eight more cases where Din of Bar Mitzvah does not apply. Okay? So, Hani Zuzi Tabe, Hani Zuzi Tekule, less be Mishum Din of Bar Mitzvah. Let's say paying cash. One guy is giving me good currency, one guy is giving me bad currency. It's worth the same amount, but it's different types of currency, so I can get to keep the good currency. It's better for me to have the better currency. Hani tzayire the hani share, less permission to my mitzvah. And this one I understand. One gives me money that's tied up, and one gives me money that's not tied up. So the one that's, I guess, the one that's not tied up is better because you don't have to check each one. You don't have to undo it to check. I think that's what it is. So if he gives you the better money, again, if he gives you the better money, there's a reason why his deal is better. You don't have the problem of bar mitzvah because it's sisa v'yashar metov. But you can't say you could say, listen, I'm getting a better deal out of this. I guess again, it goes back to that Rashi. But why are we focusing on the mocher if the whole din only applies to the kone? Amar azil ve'etra fa'ati zuzei lo natrin lei. If the bar mitzvah says, you know, wait, I'm going to go and look to see if I can find money, and then so wait for me. We don't have to wait for him. But if he says, Amar Ezil Aite Zuze, wait, I'm going to go get the money that I have to give you and I'll pay you. So Chaizinan, we should take a look. E Gavra the Amir Hu, if he's a guy who, right, who we think is liquid, so the Azul Maite Zuze, not really, that he can probably has the money, we'll wait for him. But Elo, if the guy is Zuze, he's a poor fellow and we don't think he has the money, lo not really, we don't wait for him. Ara dechad ubate dechad. Let's say I have karka that belongs to one person, but I sold or I leased a house in the middle of the field to somebody else. He has an easement to get to the house. So now I want to sell the field, right? I want to sell my field. So I have a neighbor on a house, and I have a neighbor on a neighboring property. He says, Mari Ari Ma'akev Amari Bote. The Balakarka can be Ma'akev, the owner of the house, that when the owner of the house sells the house, he has to sell it to the Balakarka because he's on my property. But Mari Bate Loma Akib Amrida Nahare. But if the owner of the property wants to sell, the owner of the house can't go first. He's not the bar mitzvah. Somehow, I guess it must be. Rashi seems to explain it. Some sort of it's a lease. So since the house is going to go back to the owner of the property to begin with, he's not really the owner, so he's not really a bar mitzvah. Same din now in number 6. Ari dechad v'dikli dechad. I own the property. Another guy owns a bunch of trees in the middle. So Mari da Ari Mati Ma'akev Amari da Dikli. If the guy wants to sell the dekel, the property owner gets first crack. But Mari da Dikli Mumati Akev Amari da Ara. But if the property owner is going to sell, then the Baal de Kolim doesn't get first crack at the field. Seventh case, which is really the 15th case. Ara lebate v'ari lezare. One guy wants to buy the field to build houses, but the Meitzar wants to buy it in order to plow it, to use it as a field. So Yishuv Adif, the less b'mishum din the bar mitzvah. Yishuv comes first. So if a guy who's further away wants to use the property for plowing purposes, there's no din of bar mitzvah if the bar mitzvah wants to use it to make it into an urban area. Better to keep it as a field. Eighth case, afsik mushintza o richba de dikla. Let's say between the two properties there's like a row of stones or something like that. There's some sort of thing, something going in between, right? So is that considered a bar mitzvah property? Or maybe it's not next door because there's something in between. Bar mitzvah only applies if they're contiguous properties. So is this continued one continuous property? So chazina, we take a look. If you can fit one plow between both fields, it's one continued field. But if the stones are big enough, they can't fit a plow in between. But if you can't, if the things are really a hefsek between the two karkos, there's no din of bar mitzvah. They're not considered continuous properties. Let me just finish up till the end. You have four people on either side, right? My property's in the middle, and you have four people north, south, east, west. They're all bar mitzvah. So if one guy comes first, I can sell it to him, no problem. But if they all, because he's a bar mitzvah, they all come at the same time, so what do? We split it up like a karnza, which is like a triangle. We do four equal portions. So each guy gets an equal portion, this triangular portion, next to his field. What happens if one side, there's an extra, really it's five. So like, let's say on the south side, there are two properties that attach to it. So it's a machlokas we're showing him if we have to split it up now into five equal portions, or we split it into three equal portions, and the fourth portion is split between those two on the south side. Okay? We'll stop here. Have a good day.